Hello everyone, welcome to the Laura Horn Art Podcast. Thank you so much for being here. We're really enjoying creating these episodes, and today we have another fantastic topic. We're talking about what to do with your older work and how to decide what to keep, what to let go of, and what you might actually do with some of those pieces and how you can revamp them and breathe new life into old abandoned ideas. So yeah, there's a lot we can talk about with this topic, and it brings up so many memories for me, some of them kind of crazy memories of trying to decide what to do with my older pieces that I don't really want out in the world, but at the same time, I don't want to get rid of them, but then sometimes I do. Sometimes I look at them and all I want to do is throw them out. But I do know that there is a value in keeping things, and that is becoming more apparent to me the longer that I've been a working artist. Because when I first started making art, I was in a real hurry to throw things out because I would be frustrated and I'd be almost ashamed of my work, and I just want to put it in the bin. And now as I've got older and wiser, shall we say, I'm starting to pull out the pieces that I thankfully didn't throw away, and I'm finding value in them 10 years later. I'm seeing things that I didn't see at that time. So now I'm kind of in the middle. I'm stuck in the middle with this because I can see a value in getting rid of stuff, because it does clear space. Do we necessarily need to hang on to every little scrap, drawing, sketch, canvas, especially when physical space is limited? But on the other hand, how can we document our journey? How can we see how far we've come if we are too quick to throw things away? So yeah, I'm in the middle now and trying to figure this out. What is the best approach? How do you deal with your old work? And it's interesting because my work does take up a lot of physical space. It's canvases, it's paper, it's wooden panels. Your work as a photographer and videographer is a bit different. But do you still have challenges around what to do with old work? Because I imagine you have tons and tons of images and footage. Do you keep it all?
Yeah, I keep everything. I keep everything. From the very start of my, I guess let's call it a career. So from the very start of my creative career, I just used to bang images and videos into a folder. And I never really gave it much thought as to how big it would get, how complicated it would get. I didn't name it correctly. I didn't file it away correctly. I do it now to a degree. But you and I, we have like crazy searches for stuff because I'll give it a name and then you'll change it. But my old stuff, I'm not really precious about it. I'm not really precious about it at all. There's loads of photos on Facebook of the important stuff, like the real important stuff, your kids, family, that kind of thing. But anything else, it's not really, really that important.
Yeah, I think it's good to have some kind of filtering system. And I have that with my art. So I'll regularly do a clear out. I love to declutter, get my space feeling fresh again. And as I do that, I will go through stuff and I will consider which things are more interesting, that even if I don't like them, there's something more interesting and dynamic going on with it. And then if I have something that's just some swatching of colours or maybe a floral sketch, but I've done that sort of sketch a million times, it's not anything that really stands out to me, then I will put that work on a pile and then decide what I'm going to do with it as far as recycling it, reusing it, you know, transforming it into something else. And I've got quite creative with that over the years because I do like to try and reuse my paper pieces as much as I can, because it is easier with paper to find a new purpose. And one thing I do love to do is make handmade sketchbooks. And sometimes those snippets are perfect to put into a very relaxed, free-flowing sketchbook, and you can end up with all these interesting papers and marks and colours. So that's one possibility for that work. Back when I was selling a lot of original pieces and prints and things like that, my go-to was to get out my, the cutting machine?
Guillotine.
Guillotine. Get that out and cut all my pieces down into little kind of like business card or tag size. And I used those as little thank yous on all of the pieces that I used to send out. And that works amazing. And I still do that to this day. I cut them up and turn my pieces into cards. And I'm often amazed at how something that I wasn't overly wrapped with looks amazing when you cut it into six or seven little pieces and crop it down in that way. So I do try and use my paper stuff as much as possible. But there are things that I don't want to use my energy on anymore. And I'll think about it and think about, do I want to spend hours reworking this piece? Or does it feel overworked? Does it have a whole lot of negative energy in it? And would I be better off just grabbing a fresh sheet of paper and starting over? It's hard to know, because I've had situations where persisting with a piece has really paid off and it's become one of my favourite pieces. But I've also had situations where starting over has been beneficial, because I've taken everything that I've learned in that piece, but I've brought it into a new piece, particularly when I'm working with things like watercolour and materials that don't lend themselves as well to heavy layering. Sometimes you just have to understand your materials and know that a fresh start is going to be better than continuing with something that's muddied up, that's already kind of gone too far. So it's about knowing what decision to make in a particular circumstance. And I realize now with this podcast, what we're learning is that there isn't ever a right or a wrong approach when it comes to art. And I know that you will hear people say, you have to keep everything. And then you'll hear other people say, why are you bothering to keep everything? Clear your space, give yourself some fresh room for something new to emerge. So there isn't a right or a wrong here. And on any given day, it might be different. And this is where that leaning in and understanding yourself and what makes you happy. What makes you happy? Does a studio piled up with all sorts of things from your past and your history up on the walls, does that make you happy? Does it show you all the different roads you've been down? Or do you love coming into a space that is clean and spacious and everything is arranged in a way that feels easy and accessible?
Can you keep all of your stuff because you're an awesome storage person and so your space is clear? Or do you just get rid of the stuff that you're not working on, or you're not happy with, or you just don't even like the look of, so you get rid of it, and that's where your space is clear? Or is your place cluttered because you're not good at storage, but you get rid of stuff, or it's cluttered because you don't get rid of stuff? Do you know what I mean? And it, just as you were talking, I just had this idea, like in my head, you know, like in the Lord of the Rings type fantasy movies, when they walk into a library and there's all these scrolls everywhere on the tables and massive big bookshelves and the place is a mess. And I love that kind of look. But when you go to the library here in Adelaide, it's like three stories, green roof. Everything's real neat, all books on shelves. It looks beautiful. I'll see if I can dig out a photograph I took of it. But it's beautiful, but it's real neat. So I love both.
Yeah, me too. I can relate to both. And when I am working, as I get deeper into my process, the messier everything gets. And I'm happy in that mess. But once I get to the end of something, whether it's a series or a big painting, I love to then put everything away and have a fresh start. I really love fresh starts. I think that's why I have a million planners and different ways of creating a feeling of a fresh start. So for me, a blank canvas or a blank page isn't intimidating to me. It's quite exciting because it's something new coming through, and I like that spacious feeling. It does come down to personal preference, and I see fantastic images of studios from amazing artists that are a bomb site, a complete shambles. And I don't think I could actually work in them in that way, but they do look inspiring, and you can just see all this creativity at work. But there's nothing wrong with being one or the other. And sometimes I think we are led to believe that to be a true artist, you need to be messy and crazy in some kind of way. But there are so many amazing artists that are neat and organized and structured in their approach. So we just have to find our happy medium.
And I'm convinced it's a personality thing. Sophia keeps her bedroom tidy most of the time. I could see her being really organized. Asher, the hand grenade, you know, his room is like, it's just a mess. And they're just two different people with two different personalities.
I think sometimes we get to a point though where we do have to consider storage options and how are we going to preserve the work that we want to preserve? What are some ways that we can keep work from all the mess that's going on? I've had pieces that I have inadvertently messed up because I've been working on watercolor, I've hung them on my walls, and then next of all, I'm painting with acrylics and I'm getting a little bit splash happy. And next of all, my beautiful watercolor painting that I just finished and spent hours on has a massive big glob of acrylic paint on it.
I don't think that's anything got to do with whether you keep old stuff or not. That's carelessness.
Yeah, but there's, I guess, an element of, if you create a lot of work, and artists do, we have to figure out how to store this stuff.
Yeah.
We need somewhere to put it because, you know, many of us are working in small spaces. It might just be a corner in your lounge room. Where are you going to put all this stuff, and what are the options around storage?
Yeah, and there's environmental issues too. Do you live in a really cold climate? Will your stuff freeze? We live in really warm climate. It's not just a question of, oh, just stick them in the shed, because you can't. Like, it's too hot. So there's a lot going on. And, you know, I remember we would store your work at a you store it type place. It would just be piling and piling up against the side of the wall. And I would send you a photograph saying, can I give some of these away? You'd be like, no, I don't like it enough to give it to somebody, but I don't want to throw it out either. And I'm pulling my hair out going, can we just get rid of this stuff?
Well, I would be mortified because I would worry that you would just give it to someone who hasn't expressed any kind of interest in it and possibly doesn't like it, and then would feel obliged to put this painting up or have this painting because you've given it to you. I mean, it's really cute because you always wanted to just give my work away, assuming that everybody would want it. I'd be like, hang on a minute. Are you sure they actually want that painting in their house? So there was an element of that, just making sure that the person wanted the painting, because it is difficult to gift artwork. Artwork is so personal. I mean, we certainly have gifted some of my pieces to people when we've had a good idea that they would appreciate it as a gift. But it is difficult to know. What else have we done with some of those pieces? back when the children were younger, I used to channel them into their fairs and garage sales and things at the kindergarten. Especially when I was just starting out, I would sell a ton of stuff super, super cheap just to get it out there. They would just be like little mini canvases and things that I had experimented on. That was great. And the kindy loved it as well because the art did quite well over there in the fair. And it was just a great way to give back some funds to the kindy too. And we did raffles and things like that with the art. So that was good when the kids were younger. You put a couple of pieces into a raffle somewhere. So we've done things like that just to get the art out. I've become a little bit more concerned about having my art out in the world now as I've progressed because there are pieces that I don't necessarily want out there with my name on it anymore because it's not necessarily the work that I want to represent me as an artist out in the world.
But that's going to happen regardless. In 5 years' time, you're going to have work that you've done this year that you're absolutely proud of. That you're going to look back on and go, oh, don't know about that piece.
I wish it wasn't like that. But I do. I do have pieces that I made, you know, a few years back, and I'm not sure that I would sell those pieces now. So you're right, the growth of an artist. Mm-hmm. You are going to grow and change, and sometimes you will look back at work and you might still be proud of it for what it was at that time, but at the same time, would you put it up on your site now or sell it now? Probably not. But that's also wonderful because that's growth. That's the journey that you've been on. So I probably do need to be a bit more relaxed about it because we do still have pieces piling up in storage, and I've been thinking about putting some of them up for sale on my website.
I think you should, yeah.
And I really should. And I've seen artists do clearance sales, specific sales where you are not sharing a cohesive body of work, but you are clearing out your studio, and it's a great opportunity for people who enjoy your work to pick up a piece at an affordable price. Like, it's win-win. It's totally win-win.
But there's also the feeling of selling a piece. It just feels amazing. Why would you just let something sit there? Like, we moved into this studio a few months ago, and a lot of the paintings that are on the walls here were in storage leaning against walls, and I would walk past them. And a painting doesn't look that good on the ground leaning against the wall. But as soon as we start putting them up, they look great. So before you sell your stuff, maybe hang it up in your own house first. And if you have room, of course. And then, and if you want to keep it. But then if you don't want to, let it go.
Yeah, they definitely look so much better when you take the time to present them properly, hang them, take nice photographs. Sometimes you forget that the work is of value because you have diminished the value in your own mind. But then someone else will see it and they love it. They're interested in it. And it happens to me all the time on Instagram posts. And in my mind, I've moved on and I'm not really placing a value on the painting anymore. And someone else sees it in a completely different light.
Yeah, you went through a stage where you painted on boards.
Yeah.
And they just went straight into storage. And when we moved in here, we put three of them up on the corridor, and they look so professional. It's like you're in a dentist or a solicitor's office. But there's also four in your studio in the corner, and they just look amazing. You're like, I cannot believe they were just sitting in a shed.
Yeah, that is so true. I was even surprised when we started hanging up some of these older pieces, and I am grateful that we did store them, and the you store it where we had them was temperature controlled. It wasn't just a shed in the backyard, so they all were preserved and perfect for us to hang. So I was definitely grateful for that. But at the same time, I did get rid of a whole bunch of smaller panels that I'd done, and I regretted that decision. That must have been just a split second, I don't need these anymore decision. But I could have painted over them. That's the other thing. It was a waste because they're wooden panels that I could have easily reused. And I don't know whether it was just because we were moving and we were in a hurry and admittedly, you are a thrower-outer.
The thrower-outer.
You're like, do you need this? Can I get rid of this?
That's something I wanted to bring up in this conversation. It's so easy for someone else to throw your stuff out. As we were talking, I was like listening to you talk about art and how difficult it is to let stuff go. And I think everybody should have this experience to create something and want to keep it, because everything is so disposable nowadays.
Something I've just realized in this conversation now is that you should give yourself the gift of time and not put things in the bin straight away. That's one thing that I would say. So I'm leaning towards the keep as much of your work as possible camp, but definitely keep things for a while, because I don't feel like you are in the best position to assess your work, whether it's a keeper or not, right as you've made it. Or in that moment when you're looking at it and thinking, ugh, this isn't great. That's not the moment to decide. Keep it for a bit. Keep it for a week. Keep it for a few months. Maybe come back to it and then make the decision, because you will make a more balanced decision and see that painting with fresh eyes and a different kind of perspective than when you are buried and deep in the work. And I wish that I had done that with some of my earlier pieces. I wish I had kept more and not got rid of so many things because I didn't think they were good enough. And I think that's the thing. I think I would rather get rid of something because it served its purpose, or it doesn't have anything in it that I want to develop further, but I don't want to just get rid of things because they're not good enough. I'd like to have almost a more mature approach about it.
How do you know what piece to work on or what to do with that piece?
Yeah, I usually just look for one thing that interests me in that initial version of the piece. So if I can flick through a bunch of paper pieces and I can see some colours that I like, then I have something that I can work with. Or it might be an image that I like, if I've put a drawing or something into a piece, or some marks or some texture, because I quite like having something that gets me going, gets me excited to create. But now, as I do more of these transformations, and just to give a little bit of context, I have actually been going into my studio and gathering up old pieces from my drawers and scrap boxes with the intention of giving them a makeover. And this was just an idea that I decided to do one day, and I had a lot of fun with taking I think it was a watercolor base and adding collage and stitching and taking it in a new direction. And it's a YouTube video that I recently put up on my channel. So I'll leave the link for that if anyone is interested in seeing this process. And I enjoyed doing that first one so much, I thought, okay, I'm going to do more of these. And what I'll do is I'll collect up a pile of paintings, put them on my table with the aim of just bringing them forwards in some kind of way, rather than with having the aim of finishing them, just using them as an opportunity to explore. And I have a ton of different art supplies and new materials and things that I haven't tried out. And sometimes you don't want to try out something brand new on a piece that you've worked on for hours and hours and hours. So these are the perfect playground for me to experiment with different supplies. And we had an example of this earlier in the week when I was trying out using a dip pen. So I haven't used dip pens very much, and I certainly don't have the knack for them just yet. But I wanted to try out using a dip pen with some ink to get some thick and thin kind of lines in a piece. And this pile of paintings that are ripe for reinvention was the perfect opportunity to just pick one up and try out a new supply. So now that I've started doing this and I've given myself permission to reinvent these paintings, to take them in new directions and sometimes make them worse. And that's what I'm realizing too. But they weren't precious to me in the first place, so it's a lot easier for me to mess them up. Anyway, where was I going with this? So you were saying, how do I decide which ones? And I said, well, if they've got something nice that I can work with. But now that I've gone further into this process, I'm realizing that some of the ones that don't even have anything good on them could be the best ones to transform, because what have I got to lose? There's nothing on there that I like. Therefore, I can go to town with it and I can get out a new supply. I can get out spray paint. I can get heavy-bodied acrylic, collage, cardboard, charcoal, whatever. I can do whatever I want with these pieces.
Somebody's probably listening to this podcast and they've gone, right, I'm going into my studio, I'm going to clear out all the rubble, all the crap. And now they just have to hear you talk about these imperfection pieces. And they're going, oh no, I'm not going to throw anything out. It's so awesomely convoluting, you know?
Yeah, it is. But it's worth a shot. If you have a whole lot of half-baked ideas and pieces that you're not sure what to do with, perhaps gather them together, have a flick through them and sort out which ones you are happy if they go in a completely different direction, which ones are maybe something that you could finish and continue on with the idea that's already on the painting, in which case you don't necessarily want to obliterate it with a new supply or a new idea. So just try and sort of sort through, and then when you have your pile of pieces where you are happy to take them somewhere new, then relish in that. Give yourself permission to play with those pieces and allow yourself to disregard even what's going on in that first base layer and start afresh with them. And you might paint over a whole colour over the top. Collage is great for reinvention. I use collage a lot with my pieces when I'm not so happy with what's going on in the first layer. Then you can fix things or at least create a starting point by layering in some collage pieces, and that very quickly changes the direction, gives you a new idea, a new composition. So I really love using collage. I also layer acrylic paint over the top of my watercolor paintings to give myself a completely different base to work from. And sometimes I'll leave a little bit of that watercolor poking through so that you have the contrast of watercolor and acrylic. You could do some journaling. That would be really fun, actually, to just get some old pieces out and do some writing. Get a pen that you like or a pencil and just start thinking about what you want to explore, how you want to go deeper. Get something down on the page that is very different to where you started from. It's just a way of getting things going. So the more I talk about it, the more I see value in repurposing your old work and finding new ways to use it.
Yeah, the more you talk, the more I'm leaning into storage, because nothing goes to waste. Like, you have a pile of paintings in front of you that could be anything from 10 years old to 10 days old. And I can just see you flicking through. Okay, this one's nearly finished. It goes in the nearly finished pile. This one needs some work. this one I don't like, but I might use it for collage. And you just start sorting things out. And like I like what you said at the beginning, you know, before you throw anything out, take your time. So if you're in that mind space to see what you want to keep, what's nearly finished, but then you fall like, it's crazy how you artists think. Like then you would be left with three piles of paper. And you're like, okay, do I go on a finishing spree? Do I go on a makeover spree? Do I go on a collage spree? Do I use acrylics, watercolor? You know, it's to me anyway, it just feels really overwhelming.
I don't think that's all artists.
Oh, is it not?
I think that's me.
Oh, is it?
Because I will go on all sorts of different sprees and different angles on any given day of the week. So you don't have to be as overwhelming as I am.
I only know this because I film it and I'm just like, why don't you do this, babe? No, not doing it. I'm doing this. It's just a catastrophe, you know. But sometimes you hit the bull, you know.
I'm always chasing a feeling. It's all about the feeling for me. What do I feel like doing today? But there's a couple of things you mentioned there about, well, one of them was about the painting that you have strong negative feelings towards. And in the past, I have got rid of some of those paintings, but more recently, they get the face to the wall treatment. Or maybe moved into another room.
I'm old enough where teachers would make you face the wall if you were naughty. That's after bringing up, oh my God, it's after bringing up some trauma.
Put the paintings in the
naughty corner.
Naughty corner. Face them against the wall so I don't have to look at them for a bit, and then come back to it later. So yes, I have definitely done that from time to time.
What's that in the corner? We don't talk about that in the corner.
Yeah. Skip past that one for now. Don't look at it. It's not ready. I don't know what I'm doing. But as you were talking about the piles and storing them, it made me think about those IKEA storage containers that I have under the bed with all my clothes. So where we live at the moment, we don't have enough wardrobe space for summer, winter clothes. So we put clothes in these storage containers and put them under the bed. But they're brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, they're great.
They're great. And I can imagine now, watch out, Richie, because the bed's probably going to not have clothes under it anymore. But I was just thinking that would be a great place to just put all the paper pieces when I run out of room. But I shouldn't really run out of room given the current situation with a new studio. But you never know.
I thought we'd gone past this, you know, opening your sock drawer to find, you know, those cards you were talking about where you would cut them up and you'd write thank yous on them.
Yeah.
Like I remember opening my sock drawer and there'd be those cards in my sock drawer. I'd be looking for the mosquito spray and I'd open up the cupboard and there'd be like art in the cupboard. I thought we'd outgrown all of that.
You've got to find those nooks and crannies. It's funny how you mentioned about the little art cards that I used to make, because they ended up
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Like everywhere. In my car. Everywhere.
You never know when you might want to write a thank you note. I just had you covered.
Oh my God.
With little art cards in every drawer.
And they used to go into everything. They went into like birthday cards, housewarming, everything. They went everywhere.
They make great bookmarks as well.
They did make great bookmarks. They did.
I miss those days.
Oh, I don't. I know. It was cute.
Yeah. So I think it's great if you can find ways to store your art. You know, portfolio folders are great. I have a few of those. I really like those. They're the ones with the plastic sleeves. You can get them in various sizes from places like Officeworks. And you know how I was talking about getting paint on my watercolor paintings before? I do love putting my paintings in these portfolio folders now, because the plastic sleeves protect the artwork. And then I can have the portfolio folder close to me when I'm working to refer to. So I have a ton of them. I have a ton of those folders filled with reference material, paintings. Some of them are good paintings that I don't want to stuff up or ruin with splashes of paint, but I also have folders that just have doodles and reference material in there, just because the folder format is really handy because you can flick through it and refer to it. It's like having a sketchbook but with a protective layer and the ability to store loose sheets of paper. So I'm a fan of that. I'm a fan of using sketchbooks because sketchbooks are reasonably portable. And it's one of the reasons I use them so much, and I used them a lot in the last couple of years because of space and not having as much space before we moved into this studio. I went really strong on sketchbooks because I could get a lot of art into one sketchbook and not have it take up much room on a shelf. So there are things that I have done over the years in order to enable me to keep more of my work. And now that I am in the studio, we have more space and I can work on bigger canvases. But as you say to me, the point is not to just accumulate canvases in a shed or in storage. That's not really the idea here. So I want to get back into selling my work, or if I am keeping it, maybe taking it off the stretcher bars and rolling it up or storing it in somewhere. I'd love to be able to flick through canvas pieces. It's a bit trickier. What else did I want to say about that? Just getting art up for sale more regularly and maybe doing some clearance sales and things like that as well. Oh, I remember what I wanted to say. Taking photographs.
I was just about to go there. I was waiting for you to finish before I said something, because we, at the early stage of your art career, we did something that was so criminal. We would sell your art and not even take a photograph of it. I would deliver it, I would hang it on their wall, and I wouldn't even take a photograph. And it wasn't until you start getting into licensing that we made an effort to scan, photograph, document, keep.
Yeah, because as we were talking, the penny just dropped. We don't get to keep all of our work because we sell it. We don't get to keep the originals of pieces, and having that record of them is so important. And even some of the pieces that I threw away early on, I do have some of my own personal photographs of those pieces that I took on my iPhone, and I always used to back up my iPhone photographs to Google Photos. In fact, I'm still using Google Photos. Every photo that I've ever taken on my iPhone gets backed up to the cloud, and that's been going on for years. So even though I might not have the physical pieces anymore, I do have photographs of my work right from when I first started painting. Now, they're not super high quality photographs, but they are a record. And I love that because I have got rid of, you know, various pieces over the years. But to have the photographs is amazing. So I would highly recommend taking photographs of your work, backing them up to some kind of cloud service, because you can do that in an automatic way. So you don't even know that it's happening. It just happens without you realizing, so that you can then log in at any time and see all the photographs and the process images of work that you've created over the years. And that can be really fun. I love to log in there and just see where I've been and what kind of pieces I've created. So that is something that for me is a non-negotiable. Take photographs of your work. And as you progress and become more established, I would recommend taking higher quality images of your work and investing in photography and scanning and having those high res images, because that's what we don't have for many of my early pieces. We might have a snap on my phone of a half-finished piece taken with my shoes in the shot. Or, you know what I mean, like something that I've done on Instagram, but we don't have the proper images for many of the early pieces that I created.
It was absolutely criminal that we let so much art leave and we didn't take professional photographs of it.
It's pretty common though.
Is it?
I've heard many artists say that they regret not taking more photographs of their work. And today, the digital world that we live in, it's fantastic to be able to look back on your work. And if you don't have the physical space, at least you can have the images somewhere. So yeah, that's definitely what I would suggest. I guess what we are saying is that it's a personal decision what you do with your work, but there are many benefits to keeping your work in some kind of way. And the digital options available to us do make that easier if you can't keep every physical thing. And I don't think anyone should feel any shame around getting rid of work or shame around keeping work. So that's pretty much what I wanted to share. And I wanted to also just provide different options, different ideas around what people could do. So whether that is creating a handmade sketchbook with some old paintings, putting a pile of paintings that they want to make over on their workspace or desk, perhaps putting some paintings up for sale. I don't know. Hopefully there's something in there that will spark people to think about how they want to manage their older work and make a decision that feels right for them.
Or they can do what you do and just do it all.
Or do as Laura does and do everything.
Yeah. Speaking of what Laura does, what are you up to at the moment?
So I'm continuing working on this larger canvas that I talked about last week, and I am adding the leaves into it. So I started off with a watercolor base. Well, actually, it's not watercolor. It's acrylic, but it's very washy, like a watercolor painting. And I'm basing this larger canvas on some of the pieces that I created in my Modern Mixed Media e-course, which, if anyone's listening right now, it's open for registration if you're listening to this as it comes out. So this is my signature course where I combine watercolor with various supplies and create a whole lot of different styles of painting. So there's botanicals, abstracts, but it's so much more than that. You'll see step by step. As people might have gathered from listening to this podcast, I like to go quite deep with things and look at things from different angles, talk about developing your own unique style, combining materials in different ways, coming up with exciting ideas, working on your mindset, staying positive. So it's all in there. This is the course where I take everything and I put it in one package. So anyway, back to the painting. I've been wanting to bring some of these ideas that are in the Modern Mixed Media course onto canvas. And I've been working on that concept for several years now. And I've just got to the point now where I'm happy with how I'm doing the background and getting it quite loose and airy. And I want to now bring in some botanical shapes. And then we'll see how we go. And I will definitely take a photograph of it and maybe even put it up for sale. Who knows? Well, that's it for this week. I hope that everyone has enjoyed this conversation. We are so incredibly grateful for your reviews, kind comments. We are having so much fun recording these podcast episodes. And if you want to find out more about Modern Mixed Media or my courses or any other aspect of our art business, head on over to laurahornart.com, and you can find me on Instagram as well under Laura Horn Art.